Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Give the Lord a shout. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. What a Mother's Day. I have a couple of remarks to make, and so I don't want to keep you standing. But while we are standing, to sincerely honor Daddy and Mommy for the privilege to be here, can we please celebrate God's servant, Reverend Oluwafemi Adeosun? Thank you so much, sir. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, sir. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. When you come to a church where the pastor is a general, you won't be surprised when you see soldiers of Jesus. My God, I was so fascinated by the presentation of the women. Are you sure they are not military officers? My goodness, it was something else. It's been a high moment all the way. And then the young man that recited those verses of scriptures. You know, when he started and said Proverbs 31, from verse 10 to 31, I said, what? Do you know how many verses you are going to read? From verse 10 to, that's 21 verses of scripture. These are the values that we know have in Christendom today. Children are very fast when it has to do with cartoons, comedies, but they remembered nothing about God. Because we are failing in the place of discipleship, in the place of mentoring, and in the place of parenting. And that really, really blessed me. I thank God that I was here to watch all that was played today. And I really want to appreciate all the women for the effort they put in for that wonderful presentation. It was awesome. It was marvelous. And we give God praise. Usually I won't say this, but just to encourage the other children to also go and study the Bible and meditate and recite on the Bible. I said to myself when he was reciting those verses, I said, if he say it to the end, every verse he quote, I will give him 5,000. if he say to the end, every verse he quotes, I'll give him 5,000. And so the moment service is over, he will get the account number, maybe the parents or something, and credit them with 110,000. So Nigeria is not hard. Build values and money will look for you. Don't look for money. Build values. Money will look for you. So that boy has earned 110,000 naira this month. Yeah. So the children should be inspired. And the person that mentored that boy will also get 20,000. Glory to Jesus. It's Mother's Sunday. It's Mother's Day. It's not a day for so much revelation. It's a day of celebrating our mothers, of appreciating them for their sacrifice, for their labors. And so I'll be sharing very briefly, just to help us understand who the woman is, why she must be respected, and why we must celebrate them today. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the privilege to receive from you this morning again. We ask that your spirit will bring us enlightenment and cause our hearts to receive these words with meekness. Help us, Father, to become practitioners of what we hear, and at the end of the day, your name will be glorified. Thank you, precious Lord Jesus, for we say all of this in assurance of the access that we have in your name. Amen. This morning, I won't begin with our anchor scripture. I will actually be rounding up with the anchor scripture, because I need to build some foundation into what I want to share before I begin to go into that subject. You know, the woman is an interesting personality. The woman is a wonderful personality. The world will have no flavor without the presence of women. And so it's important for men to understand the place of women, honor them, and appreciate them for who they are. In Genesis chapter 2 from verse 18, we see that when God was done creating everything, he demonstrated his wisdom, his creativity. Everything that was within God according to his plan was concluded. And suddenly God realized and made a profound statement. And he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. He created for the world for the man, and then created the man, put him in the world to legislate the affairs of the kingdom on his behalf in the world. But after God put everything he put together, he realized this project will be a failure unless I bring a buffer and an insurance system into the world. And so he said, if I leave this man alone, he will destroy the world and destroy himself. It's not good for the man to be alone. He said, I will make for him a suitable helper. And so when you find a man fulfilled destiny, then a woman played a major part. And so the life of a man is meaningless except as he finds a woman that aligns with his destiny. Most times you find people talking boldly and proudly that it is men's world, it's a man's world. But the truth is that the woman is actually the servant of this world. And when you begin to study a woman in context, you will see many qualities that the woman has that makes her a very unique entity that makes this world work. If the woman is not around, this world can never work. And so they deserve credit for everything that we see happening positively in the world today. There is a very wrong ideology, belief system in our world today that makes it look as if woman is the beginning and end of problem. But the truth is that the solution to the problems of this world lies in the bosom of a woman. It is the duty of the man to harness the woman and bring out every quality in her that helps to make the world a better place. Because she came to be a helper. She came to be a support structure. She came to be an improvement and a refiner to what God has created. And so when you see problem in the world, it's actually traceable to the ignorance and the inability of the man to harness the woman. The day the man begins to harness the woman, the solution and the help she brought to offer will begin to find expression. Praise God. If you study Genesis chapter 2 from verse 23 to 24, when Adam looked at the woman, immediately the propensities and the potentials of Adam came alive. God didn't need to introduce the woman to Adam. The qualities that were dormant in Adam began to find expression. Nobody knew that Adam was prophetic until the woman appeared. Before God created the woman, the man was put to a deep sleep. So he didn't know what happened. But God knows what he put in the man. But this thing God put in the man was not finding expression until the woman came. And this man woke up from sleep and suddenly saw the woman and began to prophesy. He said, "This is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh." The question is, how did you know she came out of you? And so the potentials of a man will not be realized in full scope except as he begins to appreciate the woman and gives her her place. "This is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh." How can you wake up from sleep and know that God took a rib out of you? And how did you know God walked on that rib to form what you are seeing? So every potential in a man can remain a potential until a woman meets him. This is why the woman is not a liability. The woman is actually the activator of the potentials of a man. And if you study a woman carefully from that scripture again, another thing that you will find is that the woman is a refined man. Because the woman was taken out of the man and was improved upon and given back to the man. And so the woman is a refined man. This is why when you look at them, they are different. Take a look at us and see how muscular we are. But when you look at these people, they are soft-spoken, they are beautiful, they are elegant. Everything we are not is what they are. No wonder a man will labor from morning till night, and the little he gets, he brings it to impress the woman. Because the woman is a refined version of him. And I'm not telling you what is not scripture. If you study Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, when God said, "Let us make man," he didn't say he was creating men. He said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness." And the Bible said, in the image of God, he made man. And he made a statement. He said, "Male and female, he made them both." So the woman is also a man. But the woman is the refined product of the raw man. The male man is the raw man. The female man is the refined man. And so the woman is not a liability. If you find a woman not doing well, she's with the wrong person. Because in our generation today, many boys have gone to marry and they are exercising their muscles by beating them instead of refining them. God said to the man, he said, "That thou mightest cleanse her by washing with water by the word of God." So a man is a man if he's able to handle a woman. When you find somebody who derives pleasure in beating a woman, oppressing a woman, subjugating a woman, that's not yet a man, that's a boy. He just has money and got a lady. When you find a man, he makes a woman glow. He appreciates a woman and he honors the woman. Because the woman is the refined version of the man. I said that to let you know that it's an error. Our generation, because of the irresponsibility of men, have labeled women to be a liability or to be the root of all evil. Woman is not the root of all evil. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. Stop accusing innocent people. If we cannot handle them, let us grow in maturity and become more responsible. A woman is not your problem. Your immaturity and irresponsibility is your problem. One more time, can we celebrate our women and our mothers this morning? Glory to God. And if you are a woman in this place, look at yourself and tell yourself, I am not a liability. Tell yourself, I am not a problem. I am the help that the man is looking for. I am the answer to the problem of a man. If I don't come, men can't fulfill destiny. Give your Lord a shout. And so, if you are a woman and you believe what you have said, then you must take the responsibility of truly becoming an answer. That means you are not supposed to be a nag. That means you are not supposed to be a problem creator. You are supposed to be a problem solver. And so when next you want to nag, tell yourself, I'm not a nag. I'm an answer. I'm a solution. Because if you don't know who you are, you will also reduce the quality of your existence. Instead of becoming the answer, you become the problem. Instead of being the help, you become the problem. And so you need to understand that you must grow into the best version of yourself. Because when God created you, He created you as the help that the world is looking for. Praise the Lord. But for a woman to really become all of this, she must grow through four phases in her life. I'm not going to talk about woman extensively, but I'm just building. She must grow and pass through four phases in her life. And she needs to understand what each of these phases represents in order for her to truly become the help or the helper that God created her to be. There are four phases of maturity every woman passes through. The first phase is the phase of a gear child. The second phase is the phase of a lady. The third phase is the phase of a wife. And the fourth phase is the phase of a mother. This morning we want to exhaustively look at who a mother is, but you cannot understand who a mother is until you understand what is the metamorphosis that takes place when a child, a female child, migrates from a girl to a lady to a wife before she becomes a mother. Because the problem many women have is that they are girls when they are pregnant. And so they carry pregnancy as girls, they give birth as girls, they don't know who a mother is. And so you find many girls giving birth to children and they are not mothers. Because a mother is not just one who is pregnant with child and gives birth. It is much more than that. And so a lady must grow and metamorphose, transit from the level of a girl child to a lady, to a wife, and then to a mother. There are many who are getting married and they are not yet wives. They are ladies. They think when they get married, they will become wives. You don't become wife when you get married. You are a wife. That's why you are found. It's a he who finds a wife. And so it is not marriage that makes you a wife. It's maturity that makes you a wife. And so there are many ladies who want to get married when they have not yet grown to become a wife. And so when they get married, they become a problem in the family. And so a lady must understand that she needs to grow through different phases if she must be appreciated and if she must be celebrated. And so if you are not being appreciated and celebrated, it's also because you have not taken the responsibility to grow through different phases of your life. You are adding years, but you are not growing. And that's why you are not being appreciated. And so very quickly, who is a gear child? A gear child is one who is awakened to her physical features and sexuality. That's the first thing that makes you a gear child. When you are growing, there is an age where you don't even know if there's a difference between a male and a female. But a point comes in your maturity when you discover you are not the same with the boy. At that level, you now realize the things the boys do, you cannot do and you should not do. Because now you are aware of your peculiarities as touching your features and sensuality. And so there are certain parts of your body that begins to grow and grow differently from what the boys do. And in that state of life, you now understand the second thing that makes a gear child. You must learn values. And so a gear child is one who is aware of her physical features and her sexuality, and then on the strength of her uniqueness begins to consciously learn values. And so, for instance, when you find the male children sitting carelessly, you know you can't sit like that. There are many people who are 15 years old, but they still don't know that they are gear child. And so they sit down with their legs open and carelessly, because they've not been awoken to the fact that they are a gear child. And so they are not learning the values that they need to learn. And so a child is not a gear child because she has a female gender. A child is a gear child because she is now becoming aware of her gender and the features she has. And on the strength of that, she begins to learn values. Values like how she covers herself in modesty. Values like how she begins to learn to journey in the direction of becoming a mother. Because ultimately, she would realize that she will be the one to be pregnant with the child, not the male child. She will realize she will be the one to nurture the child. It is because of that realization that you find girl children beginning to learn how to wash plates and how to cook. Because eventually they realize that when they give birth, they will be more connected to the child than the man. And if they don't learn these things now, their children will suffer tomorrow. And so when a girl or a female is not sensitive about her features and is not learning values that prepares her in the journey of womanhood, she's not yet a great child. She's still an infant. And at that level, she has no right to talk about matters that borders on who a woman is. And so the first level of maturity is the level of your awakening to your sexuality and the level of beginning to learn values that are consistent to that sexuality. That's what brings you to the first phase of a woman. That you are a gear child. There are things you cannot do. There are things you should not do. And you discipline yourself to remain like that. There are many girls who love to do everything boys do. They climb trees with them. They play football with them. They are running every day, everywhere with them. When they become aware that they are a gear child, they begin to exercise some level of reservation. Because they know that even biologically, they are not as strong as the men. So their strength is somewhere else other than their muscles. A boy child can display strength from his muscles because he notices that as he's growing, his muscles are becoming stronger. The things he can carry, the gear cannot carry. The gear child will realize that her strength is not physical. And so she needs to learn another kind of strength that is not tied to her physics, her physical aspect. That is when she tilts towards value systems. Value systems that gives her relevance and gives her strength, even though her muscles are not growing like her male counterparts. Praise God. That's the first level of development. The second level of development is the level of a lady. A lady is not just a gear child. A lady is a woman that has become aware of the challenges of her peculiarity. She goes into society and she discovers that naturally the male people are dominant and they want to take charge. She comes into society and she discovers that naturally the male people feel it's their right to be the leaders, while the women are not. On the strength of that, she wakes up to another kind of responsibility. She wants to build her mental power. You find many ladies who don't take time to invest in developing their minds because they think life is all about their body parts. And so they are careful about their buttocks, they are careful about their body, their shape, and you find them growing, wearing skimpy things. Those are girls. They have not matured. They are not aware of the challenges of society. The challenges of society are not answered to by your body shape. The challenges of society are responded to by your mental capacity. And so many girls don't grow. They remain girls at 30. They think everything is about their looks. They buy good creams, rub on their skin, wear skimpy things, and portray themselves naked. When you are growing into womanhood, you grow to cover yourself, not to expose yourself. Are you following? This is what many girls are not aware. And so we have many aged girls walking on the street thinking they are mature. And when you ask them, what do you have? They present their bodies. And their bodies are as cheap as nothing. they give them peanut, take their virginity and begin to insult them because they have not understood that society demands from them much more than their body. When a girl begins to grow into a lady, she starts developing her mind. She wants to answer the problems of society. She wants to be part of those who lead society. She wants to hold a stake in society. And so discipline and responsibility becomes a priority. She doesn't want to be looked down upon and she doesn't want to be a liability. And the only thing that will make her not to be a liability is to develop her mind. And so you find people who migrate from being girls to ladies beginning to develop their mind. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong in looking good. But I'm saying looking good is what you learn as a girl. And so looking good is not what you even learn when you become 30. You learn it when you are a girl. How to take care of yourself by having a clean bath, dressing well and decent. But when you begin to become a lady, beyond looking good, you start developing your mind. And so you want to know the answer to the problem of society. And so a lady is a girl child that has matured to the level of understanding the problems of her peculiarity and the problems of society. A lady is a girl child that has matured to a level where she's willing to take responsibility to solve the problems of society. And a lady is a girl child that has matured to a level where she also becomes an answer to the problem of society. And so she has a stake in society. That is why today you find women who are professors. You find women who are doing well in the media. You find women who are even in the army because they have seen that they have a part to play. And they don't just want to sit back and somebody comes home and gives them money, buy food, be in the kitchen. They know they have a place beyond the kitchen. Yes, they will attend to the needs of the kitchen, but they have value much more than the kitchen. They didn't grow up just to wash plate and cook food. They also can answer the problem of society. And so in addition to the simple values they learned while they were growing up, they now have mental capacity to answer the problem of society. You see the problem with man. Man is selfish. A man will pay huge amount of money for his daughter to be a doctor. He will pay huge amount of money for his daughter to be a lawyer. He will pay huge amount of money for his daughter to be an astronaut. But when it comes to his wife, he wants his wife to be in the kitchen and have no value. If you think the value of your wife is all about kitchen, why are you now training your daughter? Are you seeing why a woman must become a lady? If you don't consciously build value to become a lady, society will undermine you and you have no right to complain. Today, you go to schools, when the boys are studying, the women are looking good to become girlfriends because they are not awoken to their peculiarity and the fact that they are answers to society. And so any lady who is here this morning hearing me, if you are 15, 17, 19 and you don't know that your value is beyond your looks, you are not growing. You must wake up to take responsibility. When you go to class, you too should come first. When you go to the university, you too should graduate with a first class. Because the answer to societal problem has nothing to do with gender. It has everything to do with mental capacity. And so if you don't look at yourself beyond your body and your looks, then society will underrate you. Every lady commands respect in society. Because when you look at her, you know she's beyond her gender. When you look at her, you know she's beyond her looks. You know she has something to offer to society. And even in politics today around the world, we have women that are senators. We have women that have become presidents, ruling over entire nation. And this has nothing to do with submission. Because submission is not to society. Submission is not to men. Submission is to your husband. Society tries to underrate women by generalizing spiritual truths. The Bible did not say women be subject to men. It didn't say that. It said wives be subject to your own husband. And so a woman is not supposed to be subject to every man in society. That's why you see many charlatans trying to intimidate women. You see a tout wake up. A woman is talking in society. Say, shut up, you are a woman. What do you have to say? Who told you she has nothing to say? The person who has the best idea is the one who has authority to speak. It has nothing to do with the gender. And if you are a man and you cannot come with superior idea, if the woman has superior idea, she is the one who takes the lead. That's how society is built. Society responds to the one who has answer, not to the one who comes with gender. We are in Africa and that's why we are backward. Everybody thinks because he's a male person, he can underrate any woman. And he comes. This woman obviously has better values than you. And you are saying, shut up. On what basis? She's not your wife. The Bible didn't say women should be subject to men. It said wives be subject to your own husband. And that's why those of us here who are fathers, you will not allow any boy intimidate your daughter. Because you know the truth. And so every woman must pay the price to grow from a girl to become a lady. If you don't pay the price to grow from a girl to become a lady, then be ready to be underrated. And what makes you a lady is your mental power. That you too can answer the problem of society. That you too can provide answer to the crisis of society. That's what makes you a lady. Now, when you grow into a lady, there's another level of maturity you must enter. And this is the hardest phase of transition for many women. When they become ladies, they think the world begins and ends there. Because they think the idea of being a lady is independence. They think the idea of being a lady is feminism. Where they challenge men, fight men. Your battle is not with men. Your battle is with the devil and with the problem of society. But many people think because they can earn their own salary, nobody should talk to them again. It doesn't work like that. There are two men that must talk to you and will talk to you so long as you're a woman. Number one is your father. Number two is your husband. You know why? Because when you become a lady, there's another level to graduate to. It's called a wife. A woman becomes a wife when she becomes aware of the ordinances of God. You become a lady when you develop your mind and you are able to answer problems of society. But you become a wife when you become aware of the ordinances of God. And you respect that ordinance because you know that God is the one who created you. And he has a program, and this is where he has situated you. You know, the problem many women have is that they don't understand that family is different from society. The woman has no problem if she goes to a school where she's teaching and the headmaster is a man and gives her instruction. But when she comes home, she wants to insist that her and the husband are both head. And that's where you have a problem. Because when you come into the home setting, God placed an administration there. Not because he wants to undermine your existence, but so that his purposes can find expression. And so you can never be a wife, no matter how educated you are, unless you understand and have regard for the ordinances of God. Why am I saying this? Women think they will get respect by being independent. But the beauty and the glory of a woman is in her respect to the ordinances of God. I'm telling you why most of them are fighting, and they discover the energy to fight is not even there. Are you following? In Proverbs chapter 18 verse 22, the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You know why? Ladies are many, wives are few. You can turn to any university and find ladies. You can look into society and find ladies. But when you want to seek a wife, you need to wear another lens. It is the lens of discernment. Because many women have refused to graduate from being ladies to becoming wives. Because they think becoming a wife reduces them. If you think becoming a wife will reduce the quality of your existence, then it's not man you should attack, it's God. Because it's God that designed it that way. And the much of God we know that God is too kind to place you in a position that will not bless you. God is too good to create a system that is to your disadvantage. And so the reason you accept to be a wife is not even because of the man. It's because the one who created you, in whom you trust, you now believe and know that if he was the one who planned it this way, then my good is there. Because you see, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. So God cannot create a system that favors men and disfavors women. God is not a wicked God. It's not a biased God. It is a function of his intelligence his wisdom, his law, and his understanding. And so a woman must accept God's ordinance and come under that ordinance. Then she would have migrated from being a lady to becoming a wife. And what is the cardinal ordinance of God as touching a wife? It's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. That is the clearest picture of scripture that defines who a wife is. Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. I want you to see scripture. It says, wives, submit to your own husband. That's why I say not to men, to your own husband, as to the Lord. So it is the same way you submit to Jesus that you submit to your husband. And so if you want to learn how to submit to your husband, practice it from submitting to Jesus. He said the way you submit to the Lord, that's how you submit to your husband. And so a woman has two lords. The first lord is the Lord of all. The second lord is her husband. And you will see the Bible speak about Sarah. It says Sarah called Abraham her husband Lord. That's what it takes to be a wife. And this is why many cannot be wives. It says for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. And so in case you say you didn't understand the first one, it said the same way Christ is head of the church, it said that is how your husband is head over you. And so what the church cannot do to Christ, a wife cannot do to the husband. You see why? If you want to get married, you can't just come and say, I love him, I love him. I tell people, don't marry because you love somebody. If you love the person, that is good. But marry because God led you. Because marriage is not a joke. He said the person you are getting married to will be your Lord, as Christ is the Lord of the church. And so before you marry, make sure that person knows Christ and is like Christ. Because if you marry somebody that is not like Christ, he has already been given the authority to be Lord over you. And so people don't understand the implication of marriage. They wake up and say, I love him, I love him. Because he went to a gym and his chest is big. The day he uses that chest on you, you will now understand why wisdom is superior to emotion. I love him, is good, but something is better. Marry a man who is like Christ, because the Bible says your husband will be Lord over you. Don't just wake up, hey, they say no, do you know this person? I don't care. They go and lock the door and they are crying. Leave them to cry that cry, because if they don't cry that one, they will cry for their lifetime. You become a wife when you understand the ordinances of God and you submit to it. So you are not a wife because you are married. You are a wife because you understand God's ordinance and you submit to it. That is the only time you can be found. If it is a godly man, he will only find a wife. And God will make sure he finds a wife, not a lady. Because a lady is still independent. A lady still has pride in her salary. A lady still has pride in her master's degree and her PhD. But a wife comes and says, although I am president, this is my husband. And because it's my husband, in love and humility, I submit to him. Not because he is good, but because the Bible commands me to do so. I'm doing it because of God. That is the ordinance of God. I wish I had time to talk to men. Because when you preach like this, men become happy. When we tell them, they won't hear. We tell them they won't hear. If you are a man and you are forcing your wife to submit to you, it means something is wrong with you. Because because submission is born out of her respect for your values. A woman will submit to a man who has value. If she sees it, she takes delight in submitting. The reason a woman struggles to submit to a man is because that man does not have what it takes to be a man. If you have it, you won't struggle. It will be natural. But we are not talking men, so let me relax. And so a wife understands God's ordinances and she submits to God's ordinances. She respects God's ordinances. When you now become a wife, that is when you qualify to become a mother. Because if you don't pass through the process of being a girl, a lady, and a wife, If you give birth to a child, you will be a tyrant to that child. That's why today you find women, they give birth to children and they go and dump that child in the dustbin. You know what? They carry the baby for 9 months. They actually were delivered of that child, but they don't know what it means to be a mother. The reason God insists that a wife should submit to the husband is because God wants to teach the woman selflessness. Because that's the first qualification of a mother. You cannot be selfish and be a mother. The first thing that makes you a mother is not that you are pregnant. What makes you a mother is that you have understood what selflessness is. Because beginning to end, motherhood is about sacrifice and selflessness. And if you have not learned selflessness and sacrifice in submitting to your husband that has authority over you, your child that you have authority over, you will kill him. And so God creates an insurance system for children by teaching women the art of selflessness, because they are the actual vital authority over children. Exodus chapter 2 from verse 1 to 10. I will read it and I will show you 5 qualities of a mother. Now, why am I writing this? Our topic is the joy of a mother. If you don't know who a mother is, you won't even know what to make you happy. Because if you are a girl, when they are saying the joy of a mother, you will be thinking it's about a woman who is bought jewelry and she's looking good. Because a girl is at the level of discovering herself. So the joy of a girl is to look good. So long as she can wear diamonds, she can wear good jewelry, high heel, she's happy. So the joy of a girl is looks. And when we are talking about the joy of a mother, you may assume what we are talking about is looks. And so you think the whole concept about the topic this morning is you should have all you need, you should be happy, you should dress well. That is part of being a woman, but that is at the level of a girl. You may think what we are talking about is the joy of a lady, where you bagged your degree, you get a job, and then you are just that, your audacity level is just high, you are confident, and you are just doing what you want, and then you think we'll be talking about independence. If you are a lady, the joy of a lady is independence. The joy of a girl is looks. The joy of a wife is the care and the affection from her husband. But we are talking something that is beyond looks, beyond independence, and beyond affection from your husband. You know, the Bible said the affection of the woman shall be, the wife shall be to the husband. And so a wife is happy when the husband loves her. And all of these things are good. But today we are looking at a mother. If I was talking about women generally, I would have spoken about looks. I would have spoken about independence. I would have spoken about the love of a husband, the care of a husband. But I'm not talking those things. I'm talking about a mother. It's Mother's Day. And so the joy of a mother is not looks. It's not independence. It's not the affection of her husband. The joy of a mother is deeper than these three things. And so it's important to know who a mother is before you can even appreciate what the joy of a mother is. And so Exodus chapter 2 from verse 1 to 10, I show you. And I will also show you from this scripture why I told you a mother is not just one who gives birth. Because Moses had two mothers. His biological mother and Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter didn't give birth to Moses, but Pharaoh's daughter was the one who made Moses a man. And so you are not just a mother because you gave birth. There are many people who gave birth but will never be mothers. They don't know what it means to be a mother. And there are many people who never gave birth, but they are mothers in Israel. Because they understand what a mother is and they have lived to be a mother for the larger part of their lives. So Exodus 2 from verse 1. It said, and a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife of the daughters of Levi. So you begin from a wife to become a mother. So most girls that give birth outside wedlock, they are not mothers. They are not mothers. And there's no provision of giving birth outside wedlock. If you go outside Africa, you know, in Africa, when you say these things, it's strange. In the Western world, it's normal now, single mothers. In fact, some say they don't want to marry, just get involved with somebody, give birth to a child, and they just want to be mothers. You can't know what it means to be a mother. You are too selfish. You don't know what it means to be a mother. You may have a child, but you will never be a mother. And the proof is that when that child grows, it will never fulfill destiny. That's why you see society is collapsing, because we don't have mothers. There are no values communicated.
And so children are raised by ladies who are self-centered, independently oriented. And they don't care about those children not provide what they need. And when they grow up, they pick values from the gutters and they become problem of society. He said the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. This is where selflessness and sacrifice comes in. Because the king, who is called Pharaoh, the sun god, in those days, Pharaoh was like God. If he speaks, you know you dare not disobey. Because if you disobey a king, you pay with your life. This is an environment saturated by military personnel. So you know what orders mean. When a general or the commandant gives an order, even you know that excuse is not part of it. That's why when they showed the soldiers of Christ a moment ago, they said, "Sir, yes, sir." We answer twice. One instruction, answer two times. Hey, sir, yes, sir. Because even you know that if you obey before you complain, you obey before you give excuse. If you give excuse, it's considered as disobedience. This is in the army. Now, when a king talks, his word is law. And the king spoke and said, every child, male child, born of a Hebrew woman should be killed. But a mother will pay the price of death for her child to live. That's why I told you, motherhood begins from selflessness and sacrifice. I would rather die than to see my own child die. And so she hid the child for 3 months, consciously and outrightly disobeying the command of the king. When the child became 3 months and she could not hide the child anymore, see what she did. Verse 4. It said, from verse 3. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed him with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid him by the riverside. Go ahead. And his sister, he now deployed Moses' elder sister to stand by the side and see what will happen to the child, because her heart could not be separated from the child. And he said in verse 5, then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maiden walked along the riverside, and she saw the ark among the reeds. She sent her maid to get it. Go further. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this one is of the Hebrew children. The second thing that makes a mother is compassion. You must not be the one who is pregnant. But if you have compassion, and I will tell you the weight of her compassion, this is not pity. Because this girl is her father that said, if you find any Hebrew child, kill him. Because of this compassion, she was willing to go against her father. She was willing to disobey her father. She was willing to sever ties with her father. And so there was a connection she felt to the child that was superior to the connection she felt for her father. So one thing you will notice with mothers is that when they were wives, all of their affection was to their husband. The moment they give birth, their whole affection turned to their children. That marriage can be destroyed if anything happens to that child. And so when you find a woman who is still selfish enough to abandon her marriage and doesn't care about the future of her children, she never graduated to become a mother. A mother will take anything in order for the welfare of her children to be guaranteed. I'm telling you why we celebrate mothers. I'm telling you why we honor mothers. Because only a mother knows what it takes to sacrifice her happiness so that the child can have a good life. Can I tell you something? Most of the marriages you are seeing today ended 15 years ago. But when the woman wanted to leave, she saw her children. And she said, who will take care of them? If I leave here, this man will bring another gear. Who will maltreat these children? And so because of the happiness and the future of her children, even if her husband is an animal, she will endure living with that animal for another 15 years until her children are able to take care of themselves. It's the compassion of a mother. It takes a lot of maturity and compassion for a woman to become a mother. So when we celebrate mothers, we do it lavishly, because if they were not there, we would not become. We are who we are because of the love and the affection of our mothers. Affection is beyond pampering. The kind of affection a woman has for her child is one that she is willing to suffer and endure pain for that child to fulfill destiny. And because woman's affection is not just because of the looks of her children, but because of the future of her children, a woman now graduates to the third level as a mother. She protects, nurtures, and teaches the child. So a mother is one who has the capacity to protect, to nurture, and to teach the child. When you find wayward children, they don't have mothers. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 from verse 4 to verse 5. It said that, start from verse 3. It said, let the older women, the mothers now, likewise, be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not giving too much wine, but teachers of good things. So a mother is a teacher of good things. It said, in teaching good things, they admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Go further. Verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husband, and that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So the reason a child, especially a girl child, becomes a pride of society is because a mother taught that child good things. I can tell you that the first values every child will learn, she won't learn from the father. Men are too busy about providing food for the house to think about this child is insulting somebody or this child is disrespectful. It is the mother that follows through and begins to teach the child. When you see an elder, bend down and greet the elder. When an elder is talking, don't talk. Don't look at him in the eyes. Whatever you are told to do, do. Even if the father shows up, this boy is stubborn, come and carry your child, he doesn't care. You know what fathers do? They get what it takes for the child to be trained when they are mature. And when the child is trained, the father comes and claims him. And say, this is my son. Like father, like son. But when that child fails, the father begins to look for the woman. Come and carry your son. You know why? You know why? Because the first values a child learns is the mother that teaches that child. But see, our generation, we have ladies, not mothers. And so a child is 10 months old. That child is crying and the mother is on Instagram. Today you find children drowning in pool. Where is the mother? She's chatting on Facebook. And you find many wayward children raised who are worse than bastards. Because if they were bastards, at least they would have struggled to survive. Now they are sitting at home and learning iniquity from their parents. Chatting and a child will go crawl into the pool and drown. That's when the woman will wake up. Hey, I'm finished. What happened? Hey. Because they don't know the price of being a mother. They don't know the pains of being a mother. They don't know what it takes to be a mother. Today you'll find children, especially female children, they grow into puberty. They are trying to understand their sexuality. They are trying to understand the emotions they are feeling. The mother is not there. She dumps the child to a wayward teacher to teach her sex education school. And the idea of teaching sex education in school is to expose children to pornography. Most women cannot even account for the different phases of development of their children, even their daughters. from the age of one, is a nanny that bathes the child, is a nanny that feeds the child, is the nanny's value that the child adopts. If you are a busy person, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a nanny, but if you are a teacher, you will watch both the child and the nanny, and you can tell if any new character appears in your child. If it is good, you nurture it. If it is wrong, you kill it. But many women don't know anything about their children. It's nannies that raise children now. And you'll find some children are mutilated by nannies. A boy of 5 years, a nanny is already doing terrible sexual things with the child, and the mother is not aware. I read a story recently of a child, a boy and a sister, who got deeply involved in immorality with themselves because of what they were watching and they were practicing. The parents did not know until they were adults. When they became bold to tell the parents that now they are adults. And please don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming women. There is also a side of this responsibility for fathers. But today is Mother's Day. And I'm saying this not to paint the women of our society black. I'm saying this so that you will appreciate women when you find a good child. Because it took a lot of teaching and labor for that child to become what he is. Every good child you see is manifesting the labor of the parents. And cardinal among those who pay that labor are the women. Nannies don't qualify to raise our children. They are doing their job, but we want to put values in our children. And the values we want our children to have, the nannies don't have them. And so they can help us, they can support us, but they don't have what it takes to impute values into our children. And so when women are awoken to motherhood, it becomes their duty to transfer values and heritages into children, especially in their formative years. Because what a child learns between the age of 1 and 10, that child can never change it. That becomes his personality. And so if you want your child to be a king, you must teach him the values of a king. If you want your child to be godly, you must teach him the values of a godly person. And the Bible said, train up a child in the way that he should go. It said when he's grown up, he can't depart from it. So when you find people who are living wayward, it's because they were not trained when they were growing. If you were trained well, somewhere, somehow, God will find you. Because God cannot forget those labors. Sometimes as you are teaching your children, you are laying hands on them, you are praying. Sometimes as you are talking to your children and teaching them, you are entering covenants with God. Those covenants, God will remember. I can tell you, I've met many pastors today. More than 70% of them, ask them, how did you come here? They will point their mothers. And I'm one of such example. When my mom died, in 1 year, as a university student, I went clubbing. It looked as if something left my life. I turned into alcoholism, started drinking beer, started going to clubs and dancing. One day I was in a club. I carried a harlot to go home with her. And a voice came out of the wall. He said, the wages of sin is death. That is how I retrace my step, and I'm preaching to you today. Because my mom had committed me to God. That is the teaching dimension. In the teaching dimension, a mother hands the child over to God. That's what teaching is. And that's how you have Samuel. Without the mother of Samuel, Samuel can never become a prophet. It takes a mother for a godly child to be raised. And so teaching, the ability to teach and protect and install values in children, is what makes a woman a mother. And I tell you today, many women are failing. Many women. Manoah's wife was the one who raised Samson. Even though he went the way of a harlot, at the last hour of his life, he repented and turned back to God. Those investments never waste. They never waste. And so you find a mother praying night and day. Find out, what is she doing? It's her children. You will hardly find a woman praying for her needs when she becomes a mother. When she's a lady, she can pray for her needs. When she's a wife, she can pray for her needs. But the moment a woman becomes a mother, 90% of her prayer is her children. And I pray for women a lot. They come to you, they write prayer points from beginning to end. My daughter, my son, my this, my that. You now ask them, what is your problem? Their children is their problem. That's what makes them a mother. They become so selfless until everything that gives them joy is for their children to find a destiny. Not many women grow to become mothers. The fourth thing that makes a woman a mother is protection. She becomes like the mother hen. The mother hen is very afraid of the hawk. She is very afraid of the eagle. But the day the eagle goes after the chick, that day she will forget that she's afraid. She can pursue the hawk. The mother hen can fly over this building if she's chasing a hawk that took her chick. On a normal day, you will not find her attempting to fly. She has no business flying. So you discover the wing of the mother hen is not for flying, it's for covering her children. And any day a hawk carries one, that day, even if she has not been flying before, she must fly that day. So when you are looking for the warrior in a woman, it's when she rises up to defend her children. A woman, on account of the defense of her children, suddenly becomes a warrior. Every Deborah awakens when the children of Israel are in danger. So the mantle of Deborah is not for yourself. The mantle of Deborah is not for self-victory. It's for the victory of Israel. Many times we impart the mantle of Deborah, and many women think it's about praying, it's about fasting. The mantle of Deborah is the jealousy the woman has over her children, and she can do anything to protect them. The days when Deborah rose was when Israel was in captivity. People were so terrified that they were not using the streets because of bandits. And the Bible said in those days, Deborah rose as a mother in Israel. There is a Deborah in every woman, but until her motherhood wakes up, she can never fulfill that Deborah. A mother is a defender of her children. And finally, a mother is a home baker. She's a home builder. Proverbs 14 verse 1, it says a wise woman, a woman who is no longer naive, a woman who has become wise, who has become a mother, he says she builds her home. You see, most of these women, they are smiling. You think all is well? No, they have become mothers. They know that at this level, it's not about who is right or wrong. It's not about who wins or who fails. It's about the peace and the sanity of the home. When a woman becomes a mother, there is a wisdom God gives to her to build the home. Sometimes, she fights to keep peace in the house, not because the man is reasonable, but because the child will need an atmosphere of peace so that the values she taught that child will not be corrupt. Many times she respects the husband who does not deserve respect, but she has already taught the children respect. And so she cannot afford to disrespect the husband for the children to see. And so because of the children, she will endure. And on the strength of those virtues, she begins to shape her home. And you will enter that home, you will know that God dwells here. Every home that is working, there is a wise mother behind the scene. If a home is failing, there is a foolish mother behind the scene. You become a mother when you develop the wisdom for building a home. Why do we celebrate mothers? We celebrate mothers because of their sacrifices. No man can be a mother for one day. Men are too self-oriented, too proud and too arrogant to take what women take in order to play their part in society. And because only a woman has what it takes to do the things I have listed, a woman is not a liability. She's a helper. Most times, the problem men have with women, which is also a function of their ignorance, is this. Every woman you see, no matter how old she is, she's still a girl. In every mother, there is a gear. And in every gear, there is a mother. A woman is not complex. You just need to discern which of them is speaking per time. When you find the gear speaking, respond to the gear. When you find the lady speaking, respond to the lady. When you find the wife speaking, respond to the wife. When you find the mother speaking, respond to the mother. And so it takes a lot of wisdom to become a husband. But when a woman matures, she matures from a gear. She matures through a lady. She matures through a wife. And she becomes a mother. When she becomes a mother, only one thing gives her joy: for her children to fulfill purpose, for her children to fulfill destiny. And that is why in 3 John chapter 1 verse 4, Paul said, there is nothing that gives me joy like to see you walking in the word of truth. And so we celebrate mothers, especially on a day like this, because every president that is righteous because of a mother. We celebrate mothers on a day like this because every pastor that is honorable because of a mother. We celebrate mothers on a day like this because any businessman that is doing well and improving society is improving society because of a mother. We celebrate mothers on a day like this because any society that is working is not working because of the men. Any society that is working because of the women. And not just the women, but the mothers in that society. And so this Sunday, Four Square Gospel Church, Gudu, can we rise up in honor and celebrate our mothers for their sacrifices, for their labors, for their pains, for their wisdom, and for all they represent to us and to society. Stretch your hands and celebrate these women. One more time, can we shout to the glory of God for blessing our world with women, and particularly with mothers? Somebody give the Lord the praise. You know, if you have a mother, make sure you give them a gift today. Give them a gift. And if you find a woman who doesn't match up all I have said, don't be in a hurry to blame them. You don't know what they go through. The pains. We have a wicked society where men deliberately systematize wickedness and attempt to marginalize women. In my village where I come from Otukpa in Benue State. Those days when a woman is even cooking, she's not permitted to test it. Because of the selfishness of men. You know what they say? They say, put the soup in the hand of a boy, a little boy, even if he's 1 year old, let him test it first. To diminish, condescend, and undermine women. Those days, you don't even eat egg. They gather them and give to men and elders. It's a taboo. So we create laws to intimidate women, undermine women, because we have not ourselves grown to be men. Because a man must also grow from a boy to a gentleman, to a husband, and to a father. And I can tell you, our society today, 70% of the men are boys. We don't even have gentlemen, let alone fathers. Many boys get married and they think marriage is about trampling their wives and dominating them. They don't know what it means. When you become a father, you become like Christ. And I can tell you, many men never arrive there. That's why our society has big problems. This morning, let's pray for the women. Most of them here need healing. There are some women who have been crying for the past 15 years. They don't even know who to tell. And now, crying has become a normal part of them. There are women who are abused, marginalized, but even society will blame them the day they try to air it out. There are women whose rights have been taken from them. They don't even have what it takes to ask for it. Because when they ask for it, we give it a name. We call it a demeaning and a derogatory name, so that no other person has the audacity to seek her rights anymore. Women are injured. And the injury you see in the world today is a reflection of the injury that women feel. There are some women today that have become serpents, cunning, because of the way they have been abused. And that's the only way they survive. There are some women today who have become so aggressive because of the way they've been downtrodden. That's the only way they survive. There are some women today who have become even worse than the devil. Not because they want to, but because they only will survive in that environment if they remain like that. The woman doesn't want to fight. When you find her fight, it's because she has to fight. A woman doesn't want to be wicked. When you find her wicked, it's because she has to be wicked. Too much injury has been put on women. And this morning, we want to pray for our mothers that God will heal them and that God will administer even fresh grace to them in order to grow to the highest level of their cadre of development and also to carry out their duty
with grace and with dexterity. Let's invite our Father to pray for our mothers.
This kind of prayer requires authority.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.